Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
Telegram Sam was the song when it was on Top of the Pops. I think it was, I just had a record player bought for me for Christmas. I kind of, you know, started to get more interested in it the year before because girls at school were more interested in pop music than they were football. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute. If I want to get in with the girls, I better like this pop music thing. But it was T-Rex, seeing Mark Bolan on Top of the Pops. I thought, you know what? That looks good. That looks like a good job.
Hi, this is Lowell Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
And this is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory, but we drew the map.
Did you ever get lost backstage, Wayne?
Oh yeah, yes. There is Detroit St. Andrew's Hall. I don't know if you ever played in Detroit.
Detroit, okay, all right.
Yeah, but the dressing room was at the front of the venue. So and rather than go through the audience to get to the stage, there was like a labyrinth underneath that you could follow down. And it was definitely, we had an intro tape, which our drummer did on a cassette. And so we started playing and we started making our way. Then we got lost. And he said, we better fucking hurry up because it's got, I've forgotten who it was now, but it's got.
If it gets to right, said Fred, that's it, gig's off.
yeah, we were lost under the venue. Detroit.
There was, but put something really crap at the end, you know, because if it got that far, it really wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that was a scary moment.
But Hull's pretty bad. It used to be anyway. The few times we played there, that was a killer. It was just Royal Albert Hall. You could walk around, go through the wrong door, you'd end up outside the hall. Door had closed behind you. So you run around to the first place that looked like it had life, or at least somebody who might let you in, and go, can you let me in? I'm in the band. They go like, yeah. Yeah, see you. See you, mate. Slam.
Yeah, they go, yeah, sure, mate. Sure. That happened to me. You just reminded me of something. We played in Newcastle in the early days and we stayed at the Holiday Inn and it had a sauna, right? So I'm in the sauna in the middle of the afternoon because I figure that's a great way of getting rid of your hangover, right? So I'm in the sauna. I walk out into the little locker room place and walk out the door that I think goes into the other locker room. It's in the fire escape and I'm standing outside just with a towel on in the middle of the no amount of banging or anything. There wasn't anybody else in there. I had to walk down the stairs in through reception, go, she went, locked yourself out the sauna? I went, yeah, there you go, here's your key. Go. So it happened all the time.
We're all a long way from our birthplaces.
A long way from where we came, yeah.
And so we have this one, Wanderlust, maybe. There might be an umlaut on it somewhere, Wanderlust. Is that what it was?
Well, I mean, I moved from Bristol to Liverpool when I was 18. That's when I first, you know, met you and everything. And then from there, I moved over to Leeds and then joined the Sisters of Mercy and then to Herefordshire for a while. In London, I lived for a little while. Then I moved out to California for my sins. I always loved going to California on tour, but living there was a different thing for me. It was like, not so sure about that. And then we came on tour to Brazil, and my interpreter became my wife. So it's love. That's why I'm here. It's for love.
Was it ever a point when you went, I'm a long way from where I want to be? Or was it like totally felt, no, this is exactly where I need to be?
I've always felt, apart from California, I've always felt this is exactly where I need to be. Or, you know, I this is home for me now. I've been here 20 years, you know, so this, when I say I'm going home, this is where I mean.
This is where you mean. No, I get that very, very much so. Because I had the same experience.
I mean, it's always, I always enjoy going back to Britain. You know, I've still got family. Mum and dad are still there, and I've got brothers and sisters and friends, of course. But I don't think I could ever go back to live there, to be honest.
Me neither. I don't have any parents anymore, so I just have an older brother, and that's it, and some friends. Yeah.
It begs the question, to me anyway, and I wonder if you have any answers for it, but when you were thinking, maybe, let me say, if I the first thing that excited me was when the circus or the fairground visited my little town, and I thought, where are they from? I want something excited me about it, joined a band and started traveling around local towns until it got further afield, and then you got to like somewhere like the first time in America. But it was like, is the thinking of that, you know, like kind of always going away from where you started, give you the option, you know, that like if something like love comes your way, are we more well-placed to follow it to where it might lead? Whereas if somebody hadn't had that desire to get away, would they have cold feet about it? Do you see where I'm going with that?
I kind of understand it. I mean, I think the very nature of what we chose to do for our you know, vocation in life, it means, for me, I can pretty much do what I do and live anywhere, you know. I mean, certainly, you know, it's easier to travel these days than it was 30, 40 years ago, but even so, you know, I could live anywhere and still be a musician.
Yeah, and also for me, it's a romantic ideal. It's kind of like I saw this thing that Alan Vega from Suicide said in a French interview a while back. It said something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said it's like Elvis and Johnny Cash. It's like the loner on the edge of town, the lonely man in a lonely place. And, you know, part of me still, that's what I want. I want to be a stranger in a strange land and be traveling.
And I like that feeling.
Yeah.
But I like visiting places and being that, you know, stranger in a strange land.
I was going down the end of the street on my bicycle, which has got a box in the front, it's like a cargo bike, and the lights were changing on the crossing, and it was just coming to red, so don't cross. And that's me, you know, in Germany, everybody stops. And I thought, I'll just make it, because I know the sequence of the lights, so I'll just kind of just ease myself across in the bike and wave as I go across, you know, because I know I'm kind of in the wrong, but I'm not going to cause any accidents. And this guy, he sounds his horn, and I turn around and I sort of smile and he gives me the middle finger, you know, which apparently is illegal in Germany, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And it was followed with a mouthful of abuse. And of course, my German is, I don't have any. I can't comprehend. So I don't get a lot of that stuff. I get all the attitude, but I don't hear the day-to-day shouting and screaming or whatever it might be. And in many ways, it makes my life very peaceful.
I know exactly what you mean, because I've lived here for 20 years, but I only speak a little Portuguese. It's not fluent. before. So I can actually a little bit more than that, but yeah. it's easy when you're in a group of people just to tune that out when they're all talking and they're conversing, and it's like just tune it out. Yeah. Whereas if you're in a conversation, you know, you're sat with a bunch of people who speak in English, you can't help but be, you know, hearing what they're saying and understanding it. But it's actually, I totally get it. It's quite a nice thing just to be able to tune that out and be quiet in the city. We broke the law the other week. You know, we jaywalked.
And I totally get that as well, because you know there are children around, and I've got children, and so adults must set the example. And if the green man isn't on visible, then you don't cross. But when the street's empty, you know. And we were in a hurry, right? Because we had to get you back to soundcheck. So we broke the rules. Nobody got us. The ordnungsamt.
But nobody gave us the middle finger, though.
No, that was something. I'd never had that before. And I just kind of looked around. And in English, I said, charming. To a couple of people walking by going, oh, he'll be British then. He'll be English.
It's funny. I have the opposite kind of thing here, because like I tend to be... I tend to act more American than the Americans, because I'm a new citizen and whatever and that. So, you know, when it has like a jury service comes through your, you know, door, you get a thing. Everybody I know tries to avoid doing jury service. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and do it because, you know, if I was accused of something, I want somebody like me to be in the jury. And I did it. And it was great. It was great.
How long did it take you? Was it a long case?
It was a week. We were in there for a week, and we acquitted the guy as well. So, and he was accused of some bad things, but he didn't do them. He was fitted up by the authorities and various other. Anyway, that's besides the case. He was not guilty, and we got him set free.
Did you become more British, lol? Like in the discussion, you know, I was going to say backstage, but you can't say backstage.
You know what happened? Because the judge, you know, interviews you at the beginning and asks you about stuff and told him everything. Everybody decided that I should be the foreman because I'm British, you know, because they like the accent, right? And I said, no, I've never done this before. Somebody else has to do it. I can't be the foreman. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. No, it was good to do. But the thing that's different for me here is like, yes, we speak the same language, but there are always points. I've been here 29 years. There are always points where there's a big gap in my knowledge about certain... All of us have been talking about growing up in England and having certain things and certain little touch points.
Yeah.
And I know most of them here, but not all of them. So sometimes I have to turn to Cindy and go, what was that about? What's that referring to? Because I don't know some of those things. It's like I'm a man without history. I don't have the history of growing up as a teenager here.
Cool. It's like a bit of like memory loss, only you never had the memory to lose.
Yeah. Never had the memory in the first place. No, I mean, it's funny. Music is really the touchstone, because a lot of people, you know, my age, whether they're here or in England, we have the same musical touchstones, which is great.
Yeah, we're all kind of similar age. Yeah, glam rock for me, you know, T-Rex, Slade, and all that lot, sweet Roxy music.
Right. And they, you know, but people here know all of those. They're probably not many that know Slade, but they know a couple of songs from them.
That's because of Quiet Riot.
Yeah. Do they know that Slade had all of that kind of weird, like one letter spelling before Prince did?
They just thought that was English. They just thought that was the British. What, you know? That's British spelling, you know.
Check.
Yeah, because like we write check in a completely weird way in England. If you think about it, it's the French way of writing it. Check. Put the extra letters in and stuff, you know.
I used to live near Leinster, right, in the Herefordshire. But it's actually spelt Leominster, which always confused the Americans.
I think the hotel's on Beauchamp Place. Beauchamp. Thinking I was being ever so correct.
Beauchamp Place, yes. Yeah. My favorite one was showing Americans, you know, High Wycombe, and seeing how they pronounce that one, you know. High Wycombe, yeah.
Wycombe. It's Beecham, by the way. And yet, you know, we had Beecham's powders in our town, and that was not...
We did. And that, it wasn't spelled like that, was it? No, so they're wrong. They're wrong.
Now it's two E's, mate, two E's. Tweez. Tweez or not Tweez?
Tweez.
Get tweezers out, lol. Let's extract this one immediately.
I went to see Ringo play the other night. Never seen Ringo, right? And, you know, he's like 80, 100 years old or whatever he is, you know, dancing across the stages. And he just said, I just do this because it's fun and it's music and it's fun. And he had Edgar Winters with him.
Oh, Edgar Winters, Johnny Winters' brother, right? Yeah.
He's how I imagine God looks like, right? If I get to heaven and Edgar Winters, if Edgar's there,
long
there, and he's completely and utterly insane, but he's great. he was really, really great. I mean, he plays the drums, saxophone, keyboards, and leaps around like a madman. And he's got to be about 85 as well. I mean, it was great.
Well, there's hope for us all. There's hope for us all then.
Yes, that was it.
It could be Ringo that was the big, you know, inspiration for drumming. But actually, and I was thinking about it today, I was sitting at the traffic lights. I do this a lot, sit at the traffic lights. And I was actually driving, and I was going. And it's like the Glitter Band. They had two drummers. I thought, that's a sound I want to do. I want to sound two drummers, so everything had to be flammed. We're going to get a bit of drum talk, Wayne, but it's okay.
It's fine. Talk away. Two drummers. Great idea.
I don't know if we can even sing that riff now. Are we allowed to?
There's not much singing on it, really, was there?
No, there was not on the original Rock and Roll Part 1 and 2.
The Glitter Band had their own hits as well.
Yeah, Angel Face. Angel Face, Face of an Angel. You've got the cutest little angel face.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, the deep lyrics of the Glitter Band. One of the drummers owned a studio that we did some demos for, I think, for Head on the Door. And yeah,
that was the kind of the thing to do, wasn't it? You get your first big check by invest in a studio and never get down there and use it.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
You got your studio down there, Wayne? I know you have.
Yes, I do have a studio. It's the other end of this building, actually. Yeah. This is my office, and it's the vocal booth, guitar amp room next door, and then there's the control room. It's nice.
Glitter Band?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
T-Rex.
Yes.
What got you?
T-Rex.
Which album?
Telegram Sam. Telegram Sam was the song when it was on Top of the Pops. I think it was, I just had a record player bought for me for Christmas. I kind of, you know, started to get more interested in it the year before because girls at school were more interested in pop music than they were football. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. If I want to get in with the girls, I better like this pop music thing. But it was T-Rex, seeing Mark Bolan on Top of the Pops. I thought, you know what? That looks good. That looks like a good job.
He got me on Ride a White Swan. That was almost my first single I bought. Certainly the first tune with a vocal on it, I think.
Yeah. That's like a year or so before, wasn't it? Yeah. Electric Warrior was the first album I bought.
Well, I was going to say that, like, If I had known you back then, right, Electric Warrior was the sign that me and you were going to be friends, right? Because
yeah,
Robert had a copy, Mick Dempsey had a copy, and I had a copy, so I knew that was the point. That if you had a copy of Electric Warrior, me and you were going to be talking. You know?
That album still sounds fantastic.
I was just going to say, it's not the songs, it's not just the songs. But it's Visconti's knowledge.
Yeah, it's just the sound of it. It's so organic, real. It's really, really, really great sounding record.
It's kind of timeless as well. It's timeless. You listen to it and it doesn't, yeah, it could be yesterday. Yeah.
It's that begin, the first, dung, jack, that riff of Get It On, or Bang a Gong as it was called in the States. But the similar thing with Telegram Sam, where you've got this kind of staggering intro.
Yeah.
A tambourine kind of shaking, and the drums go, and it's everything's like shaggy.
Yeah. Well, it's also the vocal at the end. I'm a howling wolf about you. It's like, wow. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant pop. brilliant pop music.
Yeah, you just put that great line there. That's a great line.
I had no idea there was, you know, an old blues singer called Howlin' Wolf. You know, I just thought, what a brilliant line.
Right.
And you're so sweet, you're so fine.
Brilliant, yeah.
Do you, now, I got to put this to Wayne because I remember this, but it might have been some kind of hallucination. I seem to remember, like, I love Mickey Finn as well. I thought Mickey Finn was great, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember seeing Top of the Pops and they were playing something and Mickey Finn had this plastic sort of breastplate thing. Looked like it was like something you'd try on when you were a kid to pretend to be a, you know, like a knight, yeah. And he had that on, and I just thought, that's so cool. That is the coolest thing I've ever seen, you know, until I saw David Bowie with his henned hair and Starman, but, you know, that was the coolest thing. So did it actually happen, or was I just imagining it?
I don't remember that one, actually, Lol, to be honest with you, but...
Okay.
It's really been great seeing you and speaking with you again, so...
Yes, yeah, I know!
Been a lovely time.
Yes.
Be well.
Yes, it's lovely to talk with
love
you both.
Yeah. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Curious Creatures is created and presented by Lol Tolhurst and Butchie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wild.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas Kay.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cura Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2023.